All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Monday, April 29th. Fuck it. It's a raw feed. We are doing it live. I am Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. Clayton, it's a big weekend, a highly anticipated, maybe most anticipated movie of the spring for us. Open this past weekend. The results are in. We're here late at night on a Sunday night, and we are here to talk the results for Zendaya's Challengers weekend. So, I mean, I think let's not beat around the bush. Let's plow around that bush and let's see how this movie opened up. So would you mind giving us a plow for the weekend of Friday, April 26th?
Challengers made $15 million in its first frame. Number two, Unsung Hero made $7.7 million. Also in its first frame. Number three, Godzilla X Kong, the collab, made $7.2 million, down only 25%. Even though it lost 346 theaters, it's at $181.6 million in its fifth weekend of release. Number four, Civil War, made $7 million, down 38%. It lost 411 theaters. It's at $56.1 million in its third frame. And number five, Abigail, $5.2 million, down 49%. It added nine theaters. It's at $18.7 million in its second frame. That is your top five, Pat.
And we're not going to talk about this one at all, but it is a new movie, so I'll just throw it out there. Opening at number 10 was something called Boy Kills World. It's a Bill Sarsgaard action star. The thing I know about this movie is that it got such bad reviews in advanced screenings, and I think whatever festival it played at, that they completely redubbed the narration. It was originally the star, Bill Sarsgaard, did all the narration. It was the voice in his head is narrating the movie. And they redubbed it so that John Benjamin, the can of vegetables from Wet Hot American Summer, best known as a can of vegetables, is now the voiceover in Boy Kills World. And
wow,
they did some machinations. I heard this on one of our chief horror correspondent, Brett of the New Flesh, one of his other podcasts, Roger and Me. He reviewed this movie, gave this incredible backstory. But yeah, John Benjamin redubbed the voiceover for that movie, Boy Kills World, and the movie tanked despite that. So
even with the star power of John Benjamin, the star of John Benjamin Has a Van.
Yes, yes.
He could not push that thing over the finish line. Now, we won't talk about it, but I saw trailers
We've
for this.
We've talked about it so much already.
It's but stunning. I'm not a critic, huh? But I will say that if you want to know the sort of movie aesthetic that I like the least,
okay,
watch that trailer. That sort of movie is the aesthetic I like the least.
Right. You were very turned off last summer by Brad Pitt's Bullet Train.
Yes.
Brad Pitt's Bullet Train is high end of this type of movie that Boy Kills World is trying to do.
Boy Kills World is more polar.
It's very polar. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that is the aesthetic I despise the most. But anyway, let's be positive.
Let's be positive. Well, I mean, let's see. I mean, let's just go right into this number one movie.
Well, who gives a shit? Who gives a fuck? Let's do it.
Wow. Going for it. Okay. Challengers opens at 15. So basically it opened right in the center, bullseye center of the tracking, right? This was tracking like, 11, 12 to 18, 19, right? I mean, did it even get that high in the tracking? I think maybe 17 or so might have been the highest version. Listen, I went 21 on my prediction for this. I think you went 19. So we both went high. Mm-hmm. And it came in as 15, and it's hard not to be disappointed a little bit that this didn't overperform. So I think that is emotionally where I know I'm at, and you could speak for yourself. I do not want to speak for your emotions here, but I and we try to be cold and calculating and just run with the numbers. But I do feel a little disappointed that this movie, especially as I saw it and I loved it,
yeah,
that this movie didn't overperform yet. That's what I'll button it with, is yet. It hasn't overperformed yet. What about you, Clayton? What do you feel, what do you think, when that number first became solidified earlier today, $15 million opening?
Well, it's pretty much stayed at 15 all weekend. I thought we would get a bump. I thought the Sunday might have been stronger than they expected. But I'm not upset. I do think, you know, it made double digits. It's right in that mid area that makes us think, okay, next weekend's going to tell the tale of this movie. Because, you know, from what you've said, what other people I've heard have said, there's a lot of passion for this movie. Now, the cinema score is B+, so that's not spectacular, but
it's real,
yes, but I still have faith that this movie is gonna have legs, which I think is, you know, is something that, yeah, with the social media push that Zendaya had, the fact that Amazon and MGM were really behind this movie, they didn't just dump it in theaters and then expect people to just watch it on Prime in 17 days. They really were making this an event, which I applaud MGM and Amazon, because I'm going to applaud Amazon here, which is something I never do.
Wow.
They really went for it with this, because yes, this is going to be a big movie on their streamer, but they understand that it won't be as big if they don't push it in theaters. If it's not a legitimate theatrical movie, it will not do the sort of money, but also get the sort of cultural cachet that it needs to have. Because eyes are one thing, but when you see a movie open to number one, which this did, that says something.
Right, right. I mean, I think with this movie, legs are important. Fall Guy coming out next weekend is potentially a huge overlap in that it's date movie, you know, it's fun movie. It's a movie that maybe that same audience is going to choose between them and then go for the newer one. So we'll see next weekend how much Fall Guy affects us. I mean, one I'll throw out here as a comp, because it was an MGM movie that basically opened up a year ago this time, opened up in April, is Air. The well-liked, well-reviewed Damon Affleck reunion about Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan's not in it. And that opened April 7th, 14.4 million. Similarly, a well-reviewed movie that everyone was hoping would be the big overperforming adult drama hit. And it didn't really happen. It did fine.
Yeah.
And that movie did 14 million. We were all thinking, okay, great reviews. Is it going to hold and have a spectacular hold? And it didn't really. It dropped 46%, which is great, but, you know, ended up getting to 52 million, which again was good. But I think we were all hoping for more for Challengers, because Zendaya is such a big current star compared to Damon and Affleck.
Well, here's what I'm going to say about this film. And it's a theory that we were throwing around, and I think it does apply to this.
Okay.
When we were talking about No Hard Feelings, when it came to Anyone But You, how people were trained by No Hard Feelings to then want to see more movies like that because they missed out in the theater. I think this is a similar case.
Okay.
This is because this sort of romantic drama, and, you know, Anthony D is for, disorienting me with calling this a romantic comedy.
D'Alessandro.
D'Alessandro keeps saying this is a romantic comedy. It is not a romantic comedy. There's funny elements, like, because you've described it to me. There are funny elements, but it is not a comedy. There's no hair gel scene. There's no naked fight on the beach, right? This is not a comedy.
I can confirm no hair gel scene in Challengers.
And for more up to date, there's no spider tarantula in someone's undies. Undie pants, right?
It's so
the thing about this is, this is a movie that even if it does underperform at the theaters, which we don't want it to do.
No.
It is training younger people to go see these movies because the people who are going to miss this in the theater are going to watch it on Prime and say, I wish I saw this movie in the theater. Because you said to me, there's no excuse for me not to see this movie in theaters.
Yes. So, like, so here
you have to. You can't complain about these movies not happening if you don't go see it. You were saying that to me, and you're not, we're not saying this to young people because young people don't know these movies exist. They don't know that they have the opportunity to see these movies.
I think, though, we could say that to anyone 31, between 31 and 59.
Mm-hmm.
59. Anyone between 31 and 59, if you don't go see Challengers in theaters, you cannot complain that they don't make star-driven, non-IP, human-based, fun movies anymore. You cannot complain. You could listen, obviously, if you provide a doctor's note or some kind of some kind of excuse that you're caring for someone who's infirmed, you are under house arrest, you know, those type of things. Either you have to provide some kind of doctor's note or just legal forms that show you cannot leave your house. If you show us those, then yes, you could be between 31 and 59 and not go see Challengers and still be able to complain. But short of that,
of your bracelet, of your, you know, if you are somebody who is, you know, not able to leave your house for legal reasons, right? What is that called? Your house arrest.
House arrest. Yeah.
Take a picture of your bracelet and we'll know. I mean, we know what those bracelets look like. We've all seen them close up.
Yes.
So that is an excuse not to.
That's an excuse. Email us theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. If you can't see Challenges in theaters because you are under house arrest, email us a picture of the ankle bracelet and we will not harangue you on air. Mm-mm. We won't. But you got to have that, or you got to have a doctor's note, or you got to have a doctor's note for the infirmed person that you're the guardian or caring for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, lots of shifts at work, that doesn't count. And I'm looking at you, Clayton. I know those soot mines, they keep you in there for 20, 25, 30 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They do let you out. They do let you out at some point. And when you are let out of that soot mine, you do need to go see Challengers this week.
Yeah.
So, long shifts at the soot mines are not an excuse. So that goes for all of our listeners that we love who live in the stacks, all the plain billies. You're working at the soot mines. You're working at the car wash, whatever it is. At some point, they let you out. You got to go see Challengers.
Yes. Now, here's positives.
Yes, yes.
58% women, huge turnout, 18 to 34, 76%.
Yeah.
The biggest demo is 18 to 24 at 41%, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an extremely young audience.
Yes.
And so they are responding to this movie. This is great.
This
now,
is great.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the youngsters are going. Maybe the oldsters who do take a little time, they have to hear, is this good? Is this worth my time? They may go next weekend. Right. I do know what you mean. Fall Guy, that is a tough competition because Gosling's at the height of his powers right now. He's beloved by the same audience that is going to see Challengers. But I think there's room for both. I think there's room for both.
I mean, there has to be, if theaters are going to survive, there has to be room for both. The existence of Fall Guy opening cannot totally crater Challengers, or else there are just not enough people who go to movie theaters anymore.
Yeah.
You know, movie theaters used to have 3-4 of the same genre of movie that could hit at the same time.
And here, this is from Deadline. It's a date movie. 31% came with either their spouse, partner, boyfriend, or girlfriend.
Wow.
And weirdly, young guys like the movie more than girls.
Interesting. Well, I mean, listen.
But not by that much. It was 83% score to 80%. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a difference there, but not that much. But positively, that means bros are going to tell their bros, hey, bro. Right. This movie isn't just for chicks. this right. movie is for bros. Now, that's them speaking, not me. I would never speak like that.
You would never say chicks and bros in your sentences, Eddie.
I would say bros, but I wouldn't say chicks.
You wouldn't say chicks. Okay, got it. Got it. No.
I've said bro on this show. So if I were to say I'd never say bro, then I would be a liar. But yeah, I
someone
do not
would go
say
back
chicks.
And find the tape.
I don't yeah. say chicks. Chicks I do not say.
So, but we do say babe of the week because, of course...
That's something that had already been instituted by Kirk, the great Kirk right. Minahan podcast Jesus on his show, the Kirk Minahan show. That's right. his thing. We're just saying, you know, we just try to get a nomination for people that we enjoy.
Right. So, I did see this movie with my wife, over the weekend. We both liked it. I mean, much like the results of these surveys, I liked it more than her. She liked it a lot. I loved it. So there could be something in here that guys are responding more than chicks. And I'm saying chicks because you brought it up there. So I'm just bouncing off of you.
We don't have to make it a thing. This was a theoretical person saying this. So unless they're speaking, you shouldn't use that term.
Got it. Oh, only the theoretical person. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Is that theoretical person talking now or is it you?
That was, yeah, sure. We could say that was me quoting the theoretical person.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think something interesting from the screening I saw is we're walking out of the movie. There were people who were just groups of people gathered around in the lobby who had just seen the movie as well, just standing there talking about it. What did you think this scene meant? Did you think that this character really meant that, you know, talking about just aspects of the movie, analyzing it and not analyzing, oh, did you see the stinger? And now in Challengers 2, Harry Styles is going to play this, you know, is going to play John McEnroe. Did you see that stinger where someone's, no, there's nothing like that. They're actually talking about the characters, the movie that they just saw, not, you know, the extended universe of Challengers. And on our walk home, there were a group of, I think, two or three younger women trailing a few feet behind us. And they were gabbing and gabbing about this movie, about Zendaya, about the, you know, the sort of three-way relationship at the center of this movie. So it's that type of movie that gets people talking about what happened. And again, they're not talking about what do you think this means in the alternate universe? Is John Krasinski gonna play one of the characters we just saw in an alternate universe in the sequel?
Yes.
Nothing like that. It wasn't them talking about casting news for future Challengers movies. They were actually talking about the movie. So that's the type of thing that, in theory, could carry over to get word of mouth going. But
yeah,
we'll see.
And it doing really well on the coasts. So that's big. AMC,
but to be expected.
Lincoln Square in NYC, top grossing multiplex, of course. Best theater in the city. Don't tell me about any other theater in the city. AMC Lincoln Square is where it's at.
Wow.
So I think that is, you know, sometimes it's a double-edged sword because people love to hate New York. But at the end of the day, they do follow New York, LA, and where they go. Right.
Right.
And so that is going to be something that I think is going to spread to the plain billies, the Stax Dwellers and the like. Right now, Pat, I do have a question, though, about the diversity demos. Right. So 43% Caucasian, 27% Latino and Hispanic, 17% Black, 9% Asian and 4% other. Now, this director, whose name is
Luca Guadagnino.
OK. Is a member of your tribe, correct? He is an Italian man.
He is a paisan, yes.
Paisan.
Yes.
Now.
He's one of us. He's a good fella, yeah.
Wouldn't this be a great time to do what I wanted to do with Cabrini, which is just lift out Italians to see how many of the paisans went to this movie, right? Because I know that that's not only 4% other. That's not what they're saying, because I do think that they put, you know, they put Italians into Caucasian. But for this case,
right,
would you say that lifting them out would be illuminating?
I don't, because I don't think, even though Luca Guadagnino is a paisan, I don't think he really means much to the Italian community right now.
Okay.
The Italian American community. I mean, maybe over in Italy, he's got a big following, and you know, he can't walk down the streets in Rome without being followed. But I think in Bensonhurst, I don't think anyone knows Luca Guadagnino.
Okay.
They're talking about the Yankees. They are not talking about a bigger splash.
Okay.
In Bensonhurst. So yeah, I don't think this is the movie to lift Italians out of the Caucasian demo. Because
Maybe the next movie, if this is a sleeper,
right,
and Luca becomes a name.
He's got to direct, and I know Travolta had his take on it, but he's got to direct like a Gotti biopic. He's got to direct a mafia movie before he means anything to the Italian American community.
Can I also applaud Amazon MGM. Can I applaud them for something else too?
Sure.
They very easily could have platformed this movie. Because is something that, I mean, I know they didn't platform Bones and All, which was his previous movie with Timothée Chalamet that opened lower than this. Obviously, it's a whole different ball of wax when it's a cannibal romance and not like a tennis, you know, romantic drama. That was a harder sell, obviously.
Much harder sell, yeah.
But I think opening this wide, this is the sort of movie that could have been platformed and it would have been disastrous. Because you would have had big numbers at four theaters in New York and LA, and then it could have opened to $4 million or something. You know what I mean? Like the fact that this is the number one movie, it made 15, which is double what the number two movie made. That is all positive.
Yes. Yes. It gets to tout number one movie in America. I mean, something Air wasn't able to do, you know, Air opened a little below this, but it opened number three. So it gets to say number one movie in America on all the newspaper ads, all the print ads this week. So that's big. I mean, I think the thing to see is going to be how much of a run Amazon, MGM give this in the theaters. Because in the end, they want their movies on Prime. This movie's going to do huge numbers on Prime, like something like... what's the terrible movie, The Rich People in the Mansion with the Great Pulp Joke that we saw this year? The movie with Gone Girl, where she should have got a supporting actress Oscar nomination.
Saltburn.
Like Saltburn is an Amazon movie that tanked in the theaters, but did do really well on streaming. And I think Challengers will do really well on streaming. But the question is, is this movie going to drop there in 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Is it going to get a proper 8 weeks or so exclusive to movie theaters? I think because this is the type of movie, it's not going to be anyone but you. It's not going to go on a crazy run. It doesn't have the Christmas corridor coming up to do that. But it is a movie that if it stays in theaters for 2 months, could really keep racking up cash over those 2 months. The problem would be, is this going to be on PVOD by Memorial Weekend, and then it's going to be on Prime the first week in June? That would be the problem.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, they could change course, but they seem to be committed to making this a theatrical success. I mean, it was in IMAXs, and it did well in IMAX. I mean, even that's also another positive. It made $1.2 million in IMAX. So the PLFs and IMAX drove 37% of the gross. So even a movie like this, which doesn't have big explosions, spaceships, things like that, people want to see on the biggest screen possible or on a PLF. So that is positive. I do think they are committed to making this a hit. And so, you know, I think they'll keep it in. I think next week we'll tell the tale. Honestly, you know, if they have to cut bait after, you know, Fall Guy, does Fall Guy come out and just really eat Challenger's lunch?
Then
it might behoove them. But they put so much money behind this ad campaign, you know,
they did. And Zendaya is definitely pushing it. She's out there. She wants us to be a hit. What a hit means for a movie like this, I feel like it's got to do air numbers at the minimum. Like, I feel Challengers has got to hit 50. 60 is a success. 70, when we start getting, if this movie got over 70, then it's like,
crazy.
Total hit, total success. But I think opening at 15, it's got to do a 3-point something multiplier to get itself to 50 million domestic.
And 55% of the people who went to see this movie went to see this because of Zendaya.
Yeah, it's all her. I mean, if this is, you know, we like her as an actress, but if this is, well, it's interesting to say if this is, I was about to say, if this is Florence Pugh, this movie doesn't do as well. But a comp that I've seen thrown around is, in terms of a movie with no IP that's an original movie for adults, is Don't Worry Darling from last year. And that opened bigger, though that cratered. Mm-hmm. But that is a similar a similar type of movie, in that it's an adults movie that's not IP. And I think that opened to like 19 and a half or 20 million maybe.
The thing about that movie, though, is that it was a rare case of all of the backstage stuff really pushing people to see that. Because, I mean, Florence Pugh sleepwalking through her duties in promotion became promotion for that movie.
Became promotion. In the way that I think Dakota Johnson, people have tried to give her credit for sleepwalking through the promotional campaign as some kind of heroic act. Florence Pugh with Don't Worry Darling, that was the actual case of that, where someone slept to walk through their promotion, but it was very positive.
Yes. And just in a practical sense with Florence Pugh, I know she is currently being held hostage on the set of Thunderbolts. Our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yes.
Miss Pugh, or what did Olivia Wilde call her?
Little Miss Flo. Yeah, which I wonder if the progressive insurance lady ever considered suing over that comment.
She's very litigious, so probably.
Yeah.
Papers were probably served, but that was the least of Olivia Wilde's problems, because papers were being served at a lot of places to her. But my thought with that is Florence Pugh, famous smoker, has that famous smoker's cough and laugh. There's no way Florence Pugh is running up and down a tennis court.
Okay.
The way that Zendaya is. And that's nothing against, I think she could eventually do it, but I just don't see her currently doing Challengers. That would be my only thing. Otherwise, I mean, she's a spectacular actor and
spectacular actress. But yeah, I mean, Zendaya is the reason people went to see this. There's a lot of very good actresses and even name actresses who, if you switch them into this part, this movie opens to like $4 million. Same movie.
Pugh doesn't have 185 million IG followers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zendaya is the IP here in this movie. And I think anything it does going forward is people wanting to see her and people. This movie got great reviews. People. It's on 88% Rotten Tomato. I think the word of mouth is going to be good. B plus cinema score, you would have liked to see that in A-, but I think the people who like this are going to really like it. I think, you know, there's a difference sometimes between people giving a thumbs up, but a soft thumbs up. I do think the people who like this movie are going to strongly advocate for it. So,
you absolutely did. Oh, and just to, we'll wrap up the Challengers unless you have something else to add, but in this Deadline article, Anthony does say that Amazon is pushing this. They're boosting the profile of the movie in the first window so that it carries on strong in subsequent ones. What does that sound like? That sounds like the way things used to be and the way things worked and the way things made money for everyone.
Yes.
Put it in the theater. Then you go PVOD, then you go on your streamer. I know it's not DVDs, huh? God, we would all love to go back to those days where DVDs sold butt tons. but that's
Challengers would be such a big DVD movie.
Oh, it'd be in every, it would be every dorm room would have that Challengers double box, you know, of where it'd be like the sleeve, you pull it out. It'd be one of those fancy ones with the bonus disc.
Zendaya and the Josho something and Mike Face doing commentary on this would be the reason you could sell this DVD for like $21.99.
Josh O'Connor, speak his name.
He was very good in this. I shouldn't call him Josho something because now I have seen him act and I did think he was very good. So
good.
He is Josh O'Connor until I forget.
Mm-hmm. And you will forget.
I will not forget.
Luca Guadagnino.
Yeah.
Guadagnino. Of course you won't. No. All right. Well, let's talk really quick. Unsung hero. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was right where it placed, but this thing didn't do what I thought it was going to do, which was 11, which I think I will admit was a little bit high.
Mm-hmm.
The real story here, only a few hundred thousand above the collab coming back strong. Amazing. Godzilla Kong 181.6. There is gas left in this tank.
Yes. Yes. This movie's at 181.6, made 7 million this weekend. It's starting to get to that point where it's not out of the realm of possibility that this could creep to 200 domestic. I think it's a tough road.
Fall Guy's tough, you know, because that is
Fall Guy's going to take a lot of screens. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this already lost 346 screens, but it overtook Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is what we thought it was at number six with only 3.8. Yeah. This thing is going to be out of theaters pretty soon. But it's just like the fact that Kong was number three and almost number two, and who knows? Monday, when you're listening to this, we could be looking at the collab back at number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The collab could get up there. People love this collab and they love it every weekend. You start to feel like they love it even more than we thought they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this 2 years ago when Versus open, when Godzilla v. Kong opened up spring 21, really bought.
That was brought, 3 years ago.
3 years ago, right. 3 years ago, that movie really brought theaters back post-pandemic. It was like sort of the movie that reopened things.
First one you saw.
First one I saw in the theater, Kong at the end is Kong language said, I'm home. And I teared up because I looked, I was in a movie theater and I agreed. And we talked about how, and I think it was that year the Oscars hadn't happened yet. It was like the much delayed Oscars, the train station Oscars. And we said how Kong and Godzilla should open that show, that they'd earn the right to open up the Academy Awards that year.
It's in the archives. You can listen to this episode.
It's there. It's a historical document. And, you know, the Oscars obviously now, next time we have them, are so far off from now. But this collab, Godzilla, Kong, get them on the Academy Awards stage as presenters.
Mm-hmm.
Get them on that stage. And I know when the Oscars take place, it'll be so far down the road from when this movie came out, but I do feel like the cultural footprint of this collab is long enough that Godzilla and Kong should have a presence on the Academy Awards in 2025.
Oh, 100%. They absolutely should.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for the kids, too. You want to get a younger audience involved in the Oscars. If Kong and Godzilla come out in tuxedos.
Yes. Yes.
Holding hands.
Holding hands. Yeah. They're
fake collab, pretend to fight. You know,
right.
You.
Right.
Yeah.
You.
Iota.
Yeah.
To Iota, the moon, Alice. To the moon. Yeah. Exactly. So that would do great. I mean, the Oscars rebounded this year. Great Oscars ceremony. I had to eat a little bit of crow. I mean, Jimbo Kimmel did fine. He kept the ship going.
Yep, steady
correctly.
Hand. Yeah.
Steady hand. I agree now. He's a steady hand. Now, of course, next year, probably going to be Mulaney, going to be a new era, going to be a great era.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if they pick Mulaney, he's going to be the guy for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who knows where the Oscars could go? He could single-handedly save the Oscars. But it did take a steady hand, and Jimbo Kimball had that steady hand, so I got to give it to him. I'm being very congratulatory to things and people that I usually don't.
Yes, like. Today you are pro Jimbo Kimball, you're pro Amazon.
I know, but listen, I have to give respect where respect is due.
Can I ask you has your feelings changed on Taylor Swift?
Boycott is still going strong until the kids get their winter jackets. Until she buys a winter jacket for every child in America, the boycott will continue. I will not purchase anything. I will not listen to anything that is Taylor Swift related. That includes previous music that I loved. Or if I do listen, it'll be the previously released Scooter Braun versions of all the songs, not the Taylor versions.
Okay, so you will only listen to SB, it's a Scooter Braun, or SBV, Scooter Braun version.
Yep. Yeah,
SBV.
Yeah, it's SBV for me, baby, all the way.
Wow. So, Unsung Hero, I mean, that title really says it all, because we mentioned it briefly and then just started talking about the collab immediately.
Mm-hmm.
This thing opens to 7.7. It just... You know, this is not a movie that really tells us anything about a star or director or anything other than the genre is so reliable. Church bus movies. If you make them for the right budget, which I mean, they almost always are. You usually don't see big budget versions of these. You know, the Left Behind type movies, I don't think are happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You make them at the right budget, you're going to make money in the theater on these church bus movies.
And here's the sneaky positive that it goes beyond the theaters when it comes to these church bus movies, is that if you had no church bus movies, if you're a church bus driver, you're driving someone from home to church and then back, and that's it.
Right.
This is an extra stop. This is sitting out in a parking lot. If you don't want to see the movie, or if you want to see the movie, I don't know if they're comped or not, but that is 2+ hours that of billable hours for the church buses. So this is actually stimulating the economy in ways that most people don't even think about.
Yeah, if you are a church bus driver, you must be checking. I mean, you must be listening to the BO Boys, because you want to know when the next church bus movie is opening, so that you could clear your schedule of any personal entanglements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't drive kids to soccer practice that weekend. I can't drive my grandma to the hospital, because I got to drive the church bus on the opening weekend of Unsung Hero and make some extra money here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, church bus drivers, welcome to the BO Boys. We will keep you in the loop and let you know when your next gig is coming.
Yeah.
And I guess they take this out of the collection plate in the end to pay the church bus driver, right? I mean, that's got to be coming out of the kitty. Yeah, the tithings.
I guess that's not tithings. Tithings is when you give, that's from your paycheck. I guess the collection plate, as you say.
Yeah, the collection plate, yeah.
Who knows? If you're a church bus driver, okay, and you've driven churchgoers from the pancake breakfast after the service to Unsung Heroes, or what was the other one that
Jesus Revolution?
And then there was Ordinary Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were somebody who's done that, let us know what that situation is. What's the bump in salary? I mean, what are you using the extra dough on? I mean, is this a situation where it's, you know, get a little bit, you know, nicer gin this week, you maybe get to bet a little bit more on the ponies, or are you putting away for the education of your kid, you know, that you don't necessarily see too often? What are you using the extra money for as a church bus driver?
Yeah, my guess is that the churches are hiring church bus drivers who are not going to spend their extra money on the ponies or on a bottle of gin. I feel like there's some background checks happening there. I don't think it for all bus drivers.
Pat. I mean, this is a man who claims to be a Catholic, right? You're Catholic. You say you're Catholic.
Yeah, but
I went to a Catholic school for nine years.
From, there are not church buses that take anyone anywhere. You come out of that church and you're on your own. You get on the subway.
I'm nailing these church bus drivers. They're feeling seen.
Okay.
They're feeling seen.
So they're getting the nice bottle of gin with the unsung hero opening weekend extra paycheck.
Tell us your brand. Tell us your brand. Wow. Email us. Tell us your brand.
Email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. If you are a church bus driver, what gin did you buy with your extra paycheck from driving people to Unsung Hero? We want to know. So why don't we quickly just take a look. We're getting so many emails and we love it. Thank you for these emails. We're going to have to do a full mailbag episode soon, but let's take a look at a couple here. Quickly, here's this one. Wannabe old boy Max, let us know the news. Craven the Hunter is delayed to December. It's supposed to come out in August.
Oh,
yeah. It is now coming out December 13th.
Oh.
And Max asked, could Craven be this year's Wonka? So, Clayton, any
little tongue-in-cheek? Little tongue-in-cheek there, Max.
A little tongue-in-cheek. We love it, Max.
We love it, Max. We know what you're doing.
No. Friggin' way. Craven the Hunter will be Wonka. This movie's a disaster.
Nope. What do you call a bad miracle? Nope.
Put it out. Put it out now. Put it out tomorrow. Like, drop this. Open this movie on a Monday. Open Craven the Hunter.
Do it.
A surprise Monday. Like, remember when they opened the after the Super Bowl, they opened the Cloverfield Space movie.
They dropped it on Netflix during
the Super Bowl. They announced this movie exists and also it will be on Netflix in an hour and a half. Do that with Craven the Hunter. Just,
you know what you do when the Knicks won tonight, if they win again, they go on to the next round and they'll beat the 76ers. Just put up an ad after that and be like, guess what? Craven's in theaters. So you can celebrate after the Knicks victory at Craven the Hunter. Why not?
Why not? Drop this. Let's get Monday 10 a.m. showings of Craven the Hunter right now and just get this over with.
That would make so much more money if it was a surprise.
100%. The holy shit factor of Craven the Hunter being surprise dropped in movie theaters. I know with movie theaters, there's all the logistics. You got to email the .mov file or the thumb drive to, you know, send it to these theaters. But just Sony, just do that. Send them the thumb drives and get, I mean, at this point, Craven the Hunter should be released as a Kevin Smith roadshow. And I know Kevin Smith is not in Craven the Hunter or he didn't direct it. The only way to know is for them to release this movie. Mm-hmm. But just get Kevin Smith out there roadshowing Craven the Hunter and let us watch it.
Let's get a hashtag going. I don't normally call for that. But hashtag release Craven now.
Release Craven now. Yeah.
Release it now. Sony. They'll know you're in on the joke. You know how they tried to re-release Morbius in the theaters because of the memes and they thought, oh, people will go see this because they're memeing about it. Mm-hmm. Be part of the joke. Be in on the joke. You have
create the joke. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Create the joke. You have a stinker. Just poop this thing out immediately. Get the poison out. Get the poison out.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I think that people would feel so confused. They would have no choice but to go.
They wouldn't believe it. They'd go
opening as a surprise month. Yeah.
They'd take pictures at a marquee. They'd be like, it's real. It is out. People wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
People wouldn't believe it until they went and sat in the theater and they'd already bought a ticket and they saw it.
Yes. Yes.
The goodwill of a surprise drop of Craven. You know, I think Sony will do this.
I mean, I think they have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have to. You cannot wait until December 13th to put this movie out. It is unfathomable to imagine that Kraven the Hunter is not going to come out until December 13th, 2024. Put it out tomorrow. If you're listening to this Sony now, that means put it out today, Monday, April 29th.
Yeah.
Drop this movie in theaters immediately.
3 p.m. Yeah. showing. Started at 3 p.m.
Yeah. So got an email from Wannabe O Boy James.
Oh, this is amazing.
So subject challenges legs. Writes, first time emailer here, long time listener. I've appreciated your guys' enthusiasm for challengers and Zendaya's star power. I think its legs may be in danger. Me and my girlfriend went on Friday, and we were both severely disappointed in the lack of threesomes. Mm-hmm. Much like anyone but you released 5 minutes of hardcore porn, I think Challengers is going to have to release the DP cut to get over the lower scores I'm seeing from audiences. Clayton, you haven't seen this film. I have. I could confirm there is a surprising lack of threesomes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I won't spoil anything. I will say that there are less threesomes in Challengers than there were in the classic 90s film Threesome with Laura Flynn Boyle.
A movie, would you be surprised to know that I watched in the last month?
You know,
I watched it on Tubi.
That actually does surprise me.
Really?
Not even because you wouldn't. I'm surprised you watched it and I didn't get some kind of text saying watching Threesome now. So that's why I'm surprised. I'm just surprised to find this out on air.
You're not surprised. You're a little hurt.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I should know when at this point someone that I'm close with is watching the Laura Flynn Boyle movie Threesome in 2024. That movie did it have more than one threesome, or they only did it once?
No, it's alluded to that they did it more than once.
Yes. Yes. So I could confirm Challengers does have less threesomes.
And less than the mule.
Less than the mule. That is. I could confirm that the mule with Clint Eastwood had more threesomes than Challengers, and that is a little bit of a problem. As much as I like this movie, I gotta agree with the caller here with James that the lack of threesomes could be a word of mouth issue, and it could be the reason for that B plus instead of an A minus, because the cinema scores are always a function of people's expectations.
Yeah, and those commercials really did sort of sell the fact that there may be at least one threesome.
Right, right. So that, I bet you, is the reason why this didn't get an A minus, is there were the people who went in there expecting hardcore threesomes, and you don't get that. So
I'm always, and just to answer the second part, I'm always for DP cuts if available.
Okay.
So yeah. So if there is the footage, then why not release it?
Yes. Okay. Listen, we're always for any kind of stunt that could goose the box office. So if there is a DP cut, you don't release it now.
Because
I think right now people are going to see this movie because they like it and the buzz. But weekend 5, 6, you know, Furiosa's coming out.
Yeah.
You want to try and get back in the news there. That's when you release the DP cut of Challenge.
Yeah, because anyone but you didn't release the extra 5 minutes of hardcore pornography until closer to the end of the run and the Valentine's Day to try and get that bump. So, yeah, this isn't it would feel desperate if next weekend we could see the DP cut.
Right.
That feels desperate. And I don't think they're at that point with this movie yet.
Here's when I redo that. I'll give you a date right now. I'll give James, this is the date when Challengers should release the DP footage.
This is DPD. DPD.
June 14th, Inside Out is opening.
Yeah.
Father's Day weekend.
Counterprogramming.
By then, this movie's in weekend like 7, I think. Probably weekend 7 or 8, near the end of the run. That's when Challengers releases the DP cut. The weekend of Friday, June 14th, Father's Day weekend. Give the dads a thrill.
Yeah.
You know, call it the dad parent cut.
Yeah.
You know, be cheeky about it. Oh, it's Happy Father's Day. Here's Challengers releasing the dad parent cut, DP cut. and we'll all know it's the threesome cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Say DP, not Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That'll be what people are saying online. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's the weekend. So that's the weekend for it.
That's the weekend for it.
So got an email from wannabe oh boy Aaron from Illinois. Subject: Challengers were the young people. Hello, B.O. Boys, longtime listener, first time writer. I went to a screening of Challengers in the suburbs of Chicago. Was expecting a bunch of younger audience members checking out the latest movie with Zendaya. But with boots on the ground reporting from two screenings, our audience was filled with mostly those well over 50, which made me wonder if I was somehow in the wrong screening. It would be very interesting to get the demos from this movie from opening weekend. Now, of course, we do have the demos, and it is a younger skewing movie. So that is, Aaron was just in an older skewing theater.
Yeah.
And maybe an older skewing neighborhood.
Possibly.
He's in Chicago, but he said suburbs of Chicago. It just, you know, it's an old suburb. So that might be, Aaron needs to sort of take stock of who his neighbors are. And maybe where he lives is just not young enough for the lifestyle that Aaron wants to lead.
Oh, yeah. You got to move to the equivalent of Dime Square, whatever that is in Chicago.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Aaron, I mean, he's listening to the show. Obviously, so, seems
great
like
person.
A hep cat, great person. He wants younger people around him. And I think you got to listen. Someone once said, go where the food is. And I think to Aaron, we say, go where the young people are, because that's what you want.
You got to make the scene. You want to make the scene while you still can.
So he said boots on the ground, which reminds me, I did get a boots on the ground text this weekend that I would like to throw out there and get your opinion on, Clayton.
Lovely.
So this is a longtime wannabe O girl who is writing from Los Angeles. So she's also a coastal elite, and she's a wannabe O mom. She's got a wannabe O baby.
She ticks all the boxes.
Really, really does. Yeah. She's got a lot going on. And she wrote to me, in other news, blank, name redacted. In other news, name redacted, and I are at the Grove, and she saw an ad for Fraggle Rock and said she wanted to watch it. And then we went to the kids' bathroom, and there's an Apple TV branded room with a big TV playing only Apple shows. And then she sent me a picture of her child in a room that is off a bathroom, a kid's bathroom in the Grove, where Apple Plus is showing episodes of their Fraggle Rock series. Now, we're not the Streamo Boys, huh?
Huh.
But the reason I bring this up is that is some incredible, and I say incredible in a positive way, brainwashing by this Streamo company to get children to, they're invading kids' bathrooms to get them to watch content, get them to watch shows. And why are movie studios not in these kids' bathrooms?
That's a great question, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
TV is the closest thing we have entertainment-wise to the toilet. So watching a TV show next to a toilet or in the proximity of a toilet or on the toilet does not seem weird or does not seem wrong. Just as being on the internet, being on your Instagram, being on your TikTok while you're on the toilet. Watching a movie.
A new movie.
On or near a toilet. Yes. Is sacrilegious, you know, it feels wrong because it is wrong. And so if you are, I mean, this is Apple TV. So this is the studio that did Argylle, did Napoleon, did
Killers
of the Flower Moon, did Cha-Cha Smooth.
Yes, did Cha-Cha Smooth.
So if these movies were played next to a toilet, I think it would make people recoil and feel wrong. Fraggle Rock, I mean, listen, I'll watch that while I take a number two any day, because it's just like staring at any other low form of entertainment.
Right. Right. It's a streaming TV show is really no different than reading a car magazine on the toilet,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. or reading an old issue of Maxim.
Maxim. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, so that I think is the difference. I think if these companies tried to get into bathrooms, that would look terrible. You don't want to see Zendaya in a clip from the Challengers near a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. And I,
now Euphoria, that's a different story.
Right. And I would think the filmmakers probably have some say in this. You know, Scorsese famously didn't want the intermissions that some of the theaters were adding
mm-hmm.
when Killers of the Flower Moon was playing end of last year. So I would guess he pushed back hard on Apple TV Plus doing Killers of the Flower Moon installations in branded rooms off of kids' bathrooms. I would bet that that was just a total no-go from his deal. So, yeah.
Although that, Doug Liman would probably protest it and then end up acquiescing to it. So I do feel like, you know, if Amazon was like, Roadhouse is going to be a toilet movie, he'd say, well, I'm not going to show up for that. And then he'd be in one of the stalls.
Wow. Well, listen, Roadhouse.
Be a man of your word. Be a man of your word, bro.
Come on the show. He did. Yeah, bro. You do use bro a lot. Come on the show, Doug Liman. Because Clayton is obviously, he's obviously throwing that out there that you would appear in a toilet stall if Amazon asked you to. So come on here. Come on the BO Boys and refute that claim by Clayton. Until you do, it is the only claim that people can take as truth.
Yeah.
So
It's currently fact.
It's currently fact until refuted on this show. So keep sending us your emails. We've got a great email that we'll get to on a future episode from Javier, who gave us another Boots on the Ground school survey for the movies coming out in May 2024. I think we
could
talk
MVP.
About
that. This is so great. These are so great.
Yeah. So Javier, we will be getting to that soon. We got some emails from Connor and Colin and of course OG Adam from the Stacks that we'll get to on future episodes. So, and keep sending your emails to theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Watch us on YouTube. We are YouTubers, so subscribe to the BO Boys YouTube channel. And of course, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We've got some Apple Podcast reviews. We're gonna get to them soon.
Yeah.
So leave us your reviews because we will be reading some new Apple Podcast reviews. So get ready for that. Mm-hmm. Follow us on social media at the BO Boys Pod. Wanna BO senior intern Christopher killing it on Twitter X and on TikTok with these clips. Oh my God, people are loving these clips from Christopher and people are loving the Substack. The BO Boys Substack is back thanks to Wanna BO junior intern Jack. So subscribe. It is a Substack that has been recommended by Scott Mendelson by the Tribal Chief. So that is a huge feather in Jack's cap. Raise your ones up in the air. Acknowledge your Tribal Chief. And yeah, I mean, this is, we got a lot going on. This is great.
So many platforms and not a one more.
Yep. So we will be back soon with the weekend preview for the opening weekend of The Fall Guy in Clayton. I mean, that is it. I got nothing left to say. There is nothing left to say.
There can't be.
No.
Except for until next time.
We'll smell you at the box office. Nailed it.